Again, we're talking about responsibilities of a church member. Now, we've gone through the whole church talk. Somebody start the clock. So we've got the responsibilities, or we talked about church. What is church and all those aspects of church? Then we moved on to the responsibilities of a church member. If membership in a church is what we should do, and we should be involved in that, everything works through, the Lord works through the local church, and I believe He does. I believe that's His mechanism in this world, is through the local church. It doesn't mean that you can't do things outside of the church, but it means you shouldn't be outside of the church. You shouldn't be disconnected from the local church. You need to be connected in the local church. And so then as a church member, what are our responsibilities? Well, we already talked about attendance, how church attendance is not a recommendation. It's biblical. It's a requirement. I had a conversation yesterday. I got to preach a graveside service yesterday, and afterwards there was a meal, and I was hanging around talking to this guy, and we actually got into that conversation. He was trying to justify that I can just do church wherever. I can do it here. I can do it there because God goes with me wherever. I said, well, that's not what Scripture says. Let's talk about that. Let's look at it. So we had a good conversation about that. So our gathering together, because I can't encourage you. I can't be a blessing to you. I can't necessarily, I can pray for you anywhere, right? But I don't know what I need to pray for you if I'm not here to hear what the prayer needs are. If I don't see your face and see, man, there's something wrong with him today. Steve's usually pretty up, man. Steve's down today. And I see that. So I go, Steve, man, what's going on? Are you all right? Well, you know, I got this going on. Well, let me pray for you, Steve. I can put my arm around Steve and I can pray with him right there. So it doesn't have to be, well, I'll pray for you and then I'm planning to pray for him tomorrow and I forget. Or later today and I forget. Pray for him right then. So we can do those things. But there's a lot of things you cannot do if you're not here, okay? So church attendance is important. And then we talked about some other things. But last week we got into this pursuit of holiness. So a church member responsibility as a church member, which is these are the same responsibilities every disciple has, all right? So there's really, I haven't seen anything yet that we go, oh, well, that's a church member responsibility, but it's really not a disciple responsibility. So we're putting more on it as a church member. No, the responsibilities we have as a church member are the responsibilities we have as a follower of Christ, if you're truly a disciple. And so what we got into last week was this pursuit of holiness, that as a believer, we attend church, but then there should be this pursuit of holiness in life. And I'm going to look at it in a moment, and I'll review the couple of things we've talked about. But in way of introduction, I want you to think about it this way. Now, imagine, this is going to seem far-fetched, right? But I want you to imagine with me now, Gina and I, our relationship is like this. This is the deal. I don't know, maybe I don't have arms. I'm not sure what the situation is. But the only way we can communicate is Gina writes me letters. It's the only way we can communicate. She writes me letters. The only way I can communicate to her, because I can't write or whatever, is to talk to her. Okay, so I talk to her, but the only way she can talk to me is writing me letters. You with me? So there's only one way for me to communicate with her. There's a way that she communicates with me. She writes to me. I talk to her. If I don't read, she writes me these love letters. And they're mushy. They're just great. They're great. But I don't read them. What good is it? Do I know then what her heart is? Do I know what her dreams are? Do I know what her desires are? Do I know what she, you know, her feelings for me, her hopes for us? Do I know those things if I don't read the letters that she's writing me? I can't know her heart. I can't know her mind. I can't know any of that if I don't read what she's writing me. But then beyond that, let's say, you know, she's writing the letters. I read the letters, but I don't talk to her. I don't commune with her. So she's writing me these letters, she's talking to me, she's communicating with me, but I don't communicate with her. What does that say to her? What kind of relationship? Now, there's challenges in any relationship when we can communicate without these barriers. But if that's our mode of communication and I don't communicate with her, how good a relationship do we have? That's right, Jay. That would be like a big fat zero, right? You're not, let me say it this way, you won't have a relationship for long. You're not in fellowship with one another. I mean, she's writing them, I don't read them, I don't talk. But that's on me, right? That's on me. So that's kind of what we're getting at. So this morning, here's where we're going to go. So Romans 12:12 says, rejoicing in hope, patience, a patient in tribulation, continuing steadfastly in prayer. We're going to talk about prayer this morning. Now, last week we talked about the importance of reading the Word of God, the importance of having that continually being in the Word. So the first thing we looked at was a growing love for Christ, that we need to grow in our love for Christ. Well, how do we grow in that love for Christ? Well, first of all, we talked about it's a choice, right? To love is a choice. It's not this warm, fuzzy feeling, though it can be emotions involved with love, but real biblical love is choices. It's obedience. It's those things. So we're to be in a growing, have a growing love for Christ, but then we're to daily be feeding on God's Word. Those are requirements of a church member. Those are requirements of a disciple. So what goes hand in hand with this is if we're reading the Word of God, the next thing is that we develop and maintain a consistent prayer life. How do we commune with God? We commune with God through prayer. We learn of God and we learn from God from His Word. So as He writes to us, we read His Word. As we pray to Him, now we're in communion with one another. Now we're in fellowship with one another. If I only read His Word and don't pray, I'm missing the boat. If I only pray and don't read His Word, I'm missing the boat. I am deceiving myself in that I'm doing all the right things. No, communion, that fellowship requires both to be in His Word and to be in prayer. So prayer is an essential, listen to that word, it's an essential part of a Christian's life and discipleship. Like church attendance, a growing love for Christ, and daily feeding on God's Word, prayer is a must. It is a requirement, not a recommendation, if a disciple of the Lord Jesus is to grow in that relationship. Now, prayer is the primary means by which believers commune with God. Prayer expresses our dependence on Him, and it grows us in our faith. You grow in your faith as you pray. You grow in your faith as you talk to God. I've heard it said this way. You know, it's not, now prayer does change things, but you know what prayer changes? Prayer changes me. Number one, prayer changes me, because when I start praying, I start talking to God, He's going to get me in line with Him. And especially if I'm in the Word of God and I'm hearing the Word of God, then I go, Lord, I got to fix that because this is wrong. And as I pray and talk to Him, I confess those things and I'm getting a little ahead of myself. But prayer, along with reading the Bible, is where we fellowship with God. Now, we're going to focus on one verse primarily, and then you're going to see we're going to focus on a whole lot of verses. All right, we're going to bullet point a lot of verses. But 1 Thessalonians 5:17, we're going to focus there. If you want to turn there, it's a short passage, but it's one of the shortest verses in the New Testament, yet it contains one of the most profound commands for our Christian life. Paul instructs us here to pray without ceasing. Now, we talk about that, right? By praying without ceasing. To understand its meaning, let's consider its immediate context and the overall thought that Paul is communicating to us here. So the first part of this is the context. Now, in the closing section of 1 Thessalonians, and we're looking at chapter 5, 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verses 12 through 22. If you look at those verses there, it's a series of these short exhortations describing what a healthy Christian life looks like and what a healthy church should look like. It's one of those, it almost feels kind of like Proverbs. It's just wisdom. Boom, 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 wisdom. It's like James. It's direct, tells us what we should and shouldn't do right here, and there's some great exhortation for us. But three verses in particular we're going to look at this morning. So in 1 Thessalonians 5, 16 through 18, because this all goes together right here. It says, rejoice always, comma, pray without ceasing, comma, in everything give thanks, semicolon or colon? Semicolon. Which one with the tail? Semicolon. For this is the will of God in Christ Jesus for you. So these three commands belong together. They're written together, so of course they go together. But they go together and they belong together because of this. See, rejoice always. We're to maintain an attitude of joy that's rooted in Christ. Rejoice always. So regardless of circumstances of life, we can have joy. That's what it says. Rejoice always. It didn't say rejoice when things are great. Rejoice when things are good. Rejoice when things are going your way. Rejoice always. We should always maintain an attitude of joy that is rooted in Christ. Pray without ceasing. And what that is to live in continual dependence upon God. Continual dependence upon God. And then give thanks in everything. And this is that we should respond to every circumstance with gratitude. In every, look, when bad things happen, you know what, but you can still praise God. I was at a service yesterday, a graveside service, a mother who's lost a 35-year-old son. I can't imagine much harder than that, to have to bury a son, a daughter, a child, regardless of their age. It's just, that's hard. And let me tell you, she so impressed me. This lady has so impressed me with her faith and her understanding. Because even in that, she was telling me how grateful she was for the things that God had done. Even through this, she was looking at it through eyes of faith, and she could see God's hand in it. Man, give thanks in everything. It doesn't say give thanks for everything right there. It says give thanks in everything. In every situation that we're in life, we can have, I've heard it this way, an attitude of gratitude, right? An attitude of gratitude. We should be thankful for the things we have in life. So this should describe a believer's ongoing relationship with God. Joy, dependence, and an attitude of gratitude. Joy, dependence, and an attitude of gratitude. So what does this phrase then, without ceasing, mean? What does that mean? I'm going to look like a crazy person, right? That's the way. You know, today you can't tell. Right? Let me I pray in my car. I pray out loud in my car. And I'm always thinking when I pull up to a light, people are looking at me going, I don't know. He's probably crazy. Or he's on his phone. So I figure they think maybe I'm on a car phone, but they don't hear the phone and they don't hear the conversation. He can't hear the Lord, you know. So I don't know. You ride down the road. You ever see folks walking on the road? They just having a fit. And you don't know. I'm like, do they have something in their ear? Are they having a conversation? They're having a conversation. I'm just not sure with who, okay? Today you can't tell. So is it this idea that we're to just go through life, Lord, just bless my day and be with me. Hey, how you doing? And Lord, just be, you know, because if that's what, is that practical? I don't know. Is that what that means? Well, let's look at what it means. So the Greek word translated without ceasing, listen, it does not mean praying every second of every day without interruption. That would make work and sleep and family responsibilities and even biblical duties impossible. So this word was used in ancient Greek, to describe something that occurs repeatedly or continually like this, like a persistent cough. Marvin was telling me that Chris, y'all pray for Chris, okay? Y'all pray for Miss Chris. Has had a nagging cough for a couple of months now. She just can't get past that cough. And listen, if she don't have a fever, tell her unless the cough is really loud, she's welcome to come. Okay? We'd rather have her here than not be here. And don't let her cough keep her from church. I just want you to know that. But her cough is consistent. It's not that she's coughing without ceasing. It's not a constant. She coughs, right? I'm assuming. Might go a minute or so. And then there's another cough. Or it might be every 30 seconds. I don't know. But there's a cough, there's a break, there's a cough. All right, that's kind of the idea. Or it'd be like the rolling of the waves. So you go to the beach. There's not just one wave that just constantly is coming in, right? So like I talked about with the waves coming in, the tide comes in. Well, a wave comes in, the wave goes out. Wave comes in, a wave goes out. That's the idea of continuing. Because the waves are without ceasing. But they're not. It's not constant in that there is constantly a wave that's coming up. There are times when the wave is going down. Do you follow that? So we're trying to have an understanding of this. It's repeated actions that never completely stop. So there's things that we do again and again and again. So it happens, it happens, it happens, it happens. We don't completely stop that. So the idea is constant recurrence, not uninterrupted activity. So in other words, prayer should be a regular, ongoing pattern of life. It should be regular. If someone asks you, when was the last time you prayed? If the answer was, you know, a week ago, Saturday, That's not praying without ceasing. But if the answer was, man, I had a prayer this morning when I got up, I prayed over, you know, I said a quick prayer when I woke up, I had prayer over my meal, I actually prayed coming into the office, I prayed sitting in the office. You know, it wasn't that I prayed without ceasing, I prayed and never stopped praying the whole time, but I prayed and then I prayed and then I prayed and I prayed. And then we prayed in here. So you follow where I'm at. So God desires that we live every day in continual fellowship and dependence upon Him through prayer. Okay, so Paul's thought here. Let's look at Paul's thought here. So Paul is calling believers to cultivate a continual attitude of dependence upon God. Are we dependent upon God? All right, that's the right answer for the question. Should we be always dependent upon God? Yes, we should always. That's very good. You clarified that. That's why everybody was hesitant, I believe. They're like, well, no, I'm not always dependent on God. Because the truth is, we're probably more sometimes dependent on God than all the time. We should always be dependent on God. And you know what? Prayer is one of the greatest ways to show that you're dependent on God. It's us humbling ourselves before Him. Because the fact is, whether we depend on Him actively in our response to Him, we're dependent on Him. I'm dependent on Him for my next heartbeat and my next breath. I'm absolutely dependent on Him for everything in life. And we sometimes get this idea like, hey, I got this under control. I'm good. All right? That's not what Paul's talking about here. He says, look, we need to cultivate a continual attitude of dependence upon God. Now, this is what this means. And I want you to ask yourself this, as I read these, I want you to ask yourself if you're doing this, okay? So bringing every concern to Him. Am I bringing every concern to Him? You know, what we normally do is we bring the concerns that we think we can't handle to Him. But a lot of times we think, well, I've got this. This is little. I can handle this. And you know what we've done? We've just gotten in our flesh. We're now making the decisions instead of seeking Him. So bringing every concern to Him. Seeking His wisdom throughout the day. Do we do that? Man, I know sometimes when there's a decision to be made or you got to have a conversation, you know, my prayer more and more has turned, Lord, you give me wisdom for the conversations I have. Guide my thoughts, guide my tongue, control my attitude and my spirit in this. So do we do that? Are we thanking Him continually? You know, when you're driving and you see some crazy person cut in front of you and they didn't hit you, do you thank God for that? Or are you too busy screaming at the guy who almost hit you? You know, are we thankful? Are we thanking Him for life? You know, I get up in the mornings now, man. When I get up, my head's clear. I'm like, thank you, Lord. Thank you that I don't have the brain fog this morning. Thank you that I can thank. Gina is right there. She's like, thank you, Lord. I don't have a migraine right now. Thank you for that. That's a blessing that I'm not struggling right now. So thanking Him continually for everything. And it doesn't have, I mean, we ought to just have that continual attitude of thanksgiving. Confessing sin quickly. That's a great way to be. Man, you mess up. I know some of you never sin during the day. You go a whole day. And so, like, you get at the end of the day and you're like, Lord, help me. Did I sin today? I don't know that I sinned today. I shared with y'all, I had a pastor who used to say that, he said, I went 3 days one time without sinning. I thought, well, you need to confess lying right now because I don't believe you. I just don't believe you. I've ridden in a car with you. You can't drive 1 mile without sinning because he's ready to throw hand grenades at people. We sin constantly, right? Whether it's a thought, an attitude, whatever it might be, we ought to be quick to confess our sin during the day. How about praying for others when needs arise? You know, I'm guilty of this too. Brent says, brother, pray for me. I got so-and-so going on. Would you pray for me? I say, sure, Brent, I'll pray for you. And that's it. I've always tried to be intentional with this, and I'm trying to get back to this and being more intentional. I'm going to tell you the honest, I'm pretty open up here, right? There's not much in my life y'all don't know. So there was about a year and a half there when my head was so bad that I really was at a point I thought I was going to need to quit. I thought I was going to need to resign. Because I could not. It was a struggle. I mean, I had to work hard. It was three times the work to prepare to preach. It was double the work to have a conversation. And there were times where I could be having a conversation with Brent, and I mean, it was so hard just to concentrate and understand what he was saying. That's how bad the brain fog was and what I was struggling with. And I told Gina, I said, before I found Dr. Pancake, isn't that funny, Pancake? And I'm not waffling on him. He's a great guy. He's a great guy. Man, he made a world of difference for me and helped clear up my head. But there were times where, man, I was struggling just to concentrate to even process what Brent's saying, you know, really to get it. And so I was like, okay, man, I'll pray for you. And whether I did or didn't, I don't know. I would have tried to remember. Where I want to be is intentional to where if somebody says, hey, would you pray with me about this? If I can, right there, let's pray. Let me pray for you right now. Let me pray for you before we get off the phone. Let's talk to God about this. And so do we do that? Do we pray for others when needs arise? And then maintaining constant fellowship with Him. And that's the importance of prayer, is that we're constantly, you can have this attitude of prayer all the time. It ain't like you got to go, dear Lord, I'm dialing up right now. And then you go, amen, I'm done. You can have a constant prayer with Him. Nehemiah, we've been going through Nehemiah on Wednesday nights. Nehemiah had his prayer, you know, he had that when King Artaxerxes says, what's up with you, Nehemiah? And Nehemiah was filled with fear because this could be his head, it could be his life, it could be his job, any of those things. And he knew what he was about to ask the king. So it says he prayed. I don't think Nehemiah got on his knees and had a 10-minute prayer. I think Nehemiah said, Lord, give me wisdom. Without shutting his eyes, probably. In his head, Lord, give me wisdom. And he prayed. And we can do that all day long. Everything that comes up, we can have prayer, okay? So prayer shouldn't be something Christians do only at scheduled times, like, you know, our scheduled times, our meals, or before we go to bed. You know, it's when we typically I have my prayer time where I pray first thing in the morning, and I don't talk to God all day, but I pray for it. So it's not just having this scheduled time to pray, but it's praying throughout the day. So it's to become the atmosphere in which we live. That's the idea here. Now, Jesus modeled this. Jesus modeled this. Jesus frequently withdrew to pray. Luke 5:16, so he himself often withdrew into the wilderness and prayed. Mark 1:35, now in the morning, having risen a long while before daylight, he went out and departed to a solitary place, and there he prayed. Luke 6:12, now it came to pass in those days that he went out to the mountain to pray and continued all night to pray to God. Now, there are some people who tell you, you know, the Bible says you got to pray in the morning. You should get up early and pray in the morning. I'm not saying you shouldn't get up and pray in the morning, but I'll tell you when you should pray. Well, you should pray always, but you should pray when you're at your best. Give your best to God. If your best is 5:30 in the morning, give that to God. If your best is 8 o'clock at night, give that to God. Give your best. When you're the most alert, the most attentive, the most thoughtful, give that time to God. So those people who say because there's scriptures that talk about the Lord got up early and prayed, I'll turn them to Luke 6:12, and maybe that's the way you should pray. Do you pray all night? Because that's what he did. He continued all night in prayer. Maybe we should sometime pray all night in prayer. He maintained constant communion with his Father throughout his earthly ministry. While he didn't audibly pray every moment, his life was characterized by continual fellowship with the Father. So Jesus modeled prayer or pray without ceasing. He modeled that. The early church modeled this also. The early believers were devoted to prayer, Acts 2:42, and they continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine and fellowship, in the breaking of bread, and in prayer. The early church was praying. The apostles were praying, Acts 6:4. But we, the apostles, will give ourselves continually to prayer and to the ministry of the word. So prayer is not an occasional event, but a defining characteristic of their lives and of our lives. 1 Thessalonians 5:17 is not a command to engage in some mystical or repetitive saying, but it is a command to talk to God, to pray, to have communion. It's a call to live every moment in conscious dependence upon God. Now, we're going to look. These are the bullet points, right? Here we go. So have your pens ready. You're going to write fast. If you don't get them, we'll fill them in later, all right? So what the Scriptures teach us. We're going to do a quick survey then of what the Scriptures teach us about prayer. The first thing there is pray instead of growing discouraged. Pray instead of growing discouraged. Luke 18:1 says, then he spoke a parable to them that men ought always to pray and not lose heart. What do you do if you're starting to lose heart? If you're starting to be discouraged, we should pray. Right? How many times do we get down, we get the blues, and we stop praying? That's when we should engage in prayer. Lord, help me. That's where we ought to be thanking God. We get an attitude of thanksgiving and an attitude of gratitude. You know what? It'll change our attitude. So we don't grow discouraged and we don't lose heart. We pray. We pray to avoid temptation. Pray to avoid temptation. Matthew 26:41. Watch and pray lest you enter into temptation. The spirit indeed is willing, but the flesh is weak. So you won't pray, you want strength in times of temptation? Pray. Pray. Here's how we should pray. We should pray with confidence. Pray with confidence. Hebrews 4:16. Let us therefore come boldly. Now understand that word. If you go and look that word up, that boldly might not be the great, may not be the greatest translation. It may have at the time when it was translated been a fit, but really the idea there is confidently. It's not this pop your chest out and go in there like you're John Wayne and you've got an audience with God. No, you don't strut in there. It's this confidence that we have, not arrogance. It's confidence, not arrogance. We can come boldly to the throne of grace that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need. So we can come before the Lord confidently because He's invited us in His presence. He allows us in His presence. So we don't have to come in. The idea is more like we don't have to come in sheepishly. Can I approach? Can I put my eyes upon the King? No, He's like, come. Come into my presence and talk to me. And so we can do that with confidence. We are to pray for guidance. You need guidance in life. James 1:5. If any of you lacks wisdom, let him ask of God, who gives to all liberally and without reproach, and it will be given to him. If you need wisdom, man, the promise, this is a great promise. You need wisdom, He's promised to give you wisdom. Now, what you do with it is on you. We pray for wisdom. We get wisdom sometimes, and we still do unwise things. We have the wisdom to do right, and we still do wrong. But we have guidance there. Now, this next one, pray in every circumstance. Pray in every circumstance, whatever situation you're in. Philippians, and we're going to look at this over the next three right here. Philippians 4, verse 6 and 7. But verse 6 says, be anxious for nothing, but in everything. Now, this is an answer to anxiety. This is an answer to stress and worry, is Philippians 4, 6. But also, it's a guide for us that we're to pray in everything. Whatever situation we're in, whatever's going on in life, we're to pray in everything, in every situation, but in everything. So in every circumstance we pray. We pray with thanksgiving. So how do we pray? Be anxious for nothing, but in everything, by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving. We should pray with that attitude of thanksgiving when we come before the Lord. Whatever we're bringing to Him, we have our prayers, we have our requests, our supplications, but we should do that with thanksgiving. And then Colossians 4:2 says, continue earnestly in prayer, being diligent in that, in it with thanksgiving. Again, and then the next part of this is that prayer brings peace. All right, so Philippians 4, 6 and 7, it goes on and says, let your requests be made known to God, and the peace of God, which passes all understanding. We know that. We've heard that a million times if you've been in church. The peace of God that passes all understanding. All right, so I can't understand it. I can't comprehend the peace He brings, and that peace will guard your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. Now, prayer changes things. Okay, prayer changes things. James 5:16, the effective fervent prayer of a righteous man avails much. The effective fervent prayer of a righteous man avails much. Prayer changes things. 1 John 5:14, now this is the confidence that we have in Him, that if we ask anything according to His will. It's not just praying, you know, we pray in Jesus' name. That's not magic words that we put on. Now I pray in Jesus' name because I hope that my prayer is in His will, but I'm praying in His name. I'm not praying in somebody else's name, some other God's name. I'm not praying in His in your name. I'm praying in Jesus' name. Okay? I'm naming the name of Jesus. Lord God, in the name of Jesus, I pray this, amen. That's what, I'm going to pray that way. But we pray according to His will. He hears us. And if we know that He hears us, whatever we ask, we know that we have the petitions that we have asked of Him. There's a promise right there. When we pray according to His will, you know what that is? That is a certifiable yes. That's what that is. You go, really, preacher? Yes, it's what it, read it. It's what it says. If we pray according to His will. Now, sometimes we don't know His will. We pray for someone's healing. It may not be God's will. But if it's God's will to heal someone and we pray that way, God's going to answer that prayer. And you may say, well, that's just us aligning with His will. Amen. That's where we need to be, aligned with His will above all else. All right? We should pray for one another. James, again, James 5:16, confess your trespasses to one another and pray for one another that you may be healed. 1 Timothy 2, verse 1, therefore I exhort, first of all, that supplications, prayers, intercessions, and giving of thanks be made for all men. We're to pray for one another. We're to pray for others as believers, but we're to pray for others as well, those that are outside the church. We're to pray for them that God would save their soul. We're to pray for them and their needs. Ephesians 6:18 through 20, praying always, there it is again, with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, being watchful to this end, with all perseverance and supplication for all the saints and for me. That's what Paul says, pray for all the saints, pray for all the believers. So we're to pray for everybody. We're to pray for one another in the church. We're to pray for people all around us, and we're to pray for the saints. We're to pray for, and Paul said, pray for me that other utterance may be given to me, that I may open my mouth boldly to make known the mystery of the gospel for which I'm an ambassador in chains, that in it I may speak boldly as I ought to speak. That was my prayer Wednesday night. I asked y'all Wednesday night to pray for me. I had a service yesterday that I could present the gospel clearly and pray that the Lord would use that. And I've had a couple people this morning said, how'd it go? I've been praying for you. And I appreciate that. Thank you very much for that. I need your prayers. I covet your prayers. It's Paul here. Anytime someone's going to teach or preach, man, anytime you're doing that, we covet your prayers for us. All right, now ask. Ask. Next thing here, Matthew 7. Verse 7 through 11 is ask, because I learned this from a guy that I worked with, one of my old bosses. He said, you don't know if you don't ask. You don't know if you don't ask. So ask. Matthew 7:7 says, ask and it will be given to you. Seek and you will find. Knock and it will be opened to you. For everyone who asks receives, and he who seeks finds, and to him who knocks it will be opened. Or what man is there among you who, if his son asks for bread, will give him a stone? Or if he asks for a fish, will give him a serpent? If you then, being evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your Father who is in heaven give good things to those who ask him? See, our Heavenly Father delights to give good gifts to His children. That's what He desires. Now, prayer is a weapon to be used in spiritual warfare. Prayer is a weapon to be used in spiritual warfare. Ephesians chapter 6, verse 17 and 18, and take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God, praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit. When we're facing spiritual warfare, our weapon is prayer. We pray. I mentioned this quote, and I don't remember now where I got it, but prayer is a wartime walkie-talkie, not an intercom to the butler. Hear that again? Prayer is a wartime walkie-talkie. As we pray, man, there's a spiritual situation. We're praying, all right, here's the coordinates, drop the bombs, and he's bombing that situation as we pray. He's doing the work, and we're praying. So it's a walkie-talkie. We're talking to God. Here's, Lord, help me. I'm in this situation. And so in spiritual warfare, it's a wartime walkie-talkie, not an intercom to the, oh, James, could you bring me so-and-so? No, that's not what, God's not our genie in a bottle. He's not the butler. He's not there just to push the button and go, all right, God, this is what I need. Can you give that to me? And then get mad because he doesn't. And that's where a lot of prosperity gospel is today. See, prayer is not so that we can pad our life with more American comforts. It's to give us power to do hard things for the kingdom. All right, so next, we're to persevere in prayer. We're to persevere in prayer. Romans 12:12, rejoicing in hope, patient in tribulation, continuing steadfastly in prayer. We are to persevere. When things are going difficult, when things are going great, we should be praying. This too shall pass. You know, when we go through bad things, we like to say, well, this too shall pass. But can I tell you, when you're going through really good things, this too shall pass. So in every situation you're in life, you need to be praying. We need to be praying. So the Spirit intercedes for us in prayer. This is great news. The Spirit intercedes for us in prayer. I would have lost my money, Pastor Aaron. I'm already at like 30. It's at like 30-something minutes. What are we at now? 35. See, I've already lost. And to conclude our sermon this morning. Oh, my goodness. Wow. All right, y'all want me to just stop or go on? All right. That's what I love about y'all. Y'all laugh at me when I think I'm gonna be able to do it a little faster. And you're like, yeah, okay, he's bless his heart. Y'all know what that means, right? Bless his heart. So the Spirit intercedes for us. Man, this is encouraging right here. So Romans 8, 26 and 27 says, likewise, the Spirit also helps in our weaknesses, for we do not know what we should pray for as we ought. But listen, but the Spirit himself makes intercession for us with groanings which cannot be uttered. You know the Pentecostals use that? They use that verse as justification for their babbling, that we speak these groanings that you can't understand. That's not a person. The groanings there are being made by the Holy Spirit. It's not us. And it doesn't say he's doing that through us. Just understand that. So, intercessions for us with groanings which cannot be uttered. Now he who searches the hearts knows what the mind of the Spirit is, because he makes intercession for the saints. He makes intercession for us according to the will of God. Isn't that good? I'm praying foolishness. And I'm praying my will. And the Spirit says, man, all right, bless your heart. And he prays for us. He prays for us according to the will of God. That's encouraging right there. We're to approach prayer with the right attitude. All right, approach prayer with the right attitude. Matthew chapter 6, 5 through 8 says, and when you pray, it's not if you pray. It says, when you pray, you shall not be like the hypocrites, for they love to pray standing in the synagogues and on the corners of the streets, that they may be seen of men. Assuredly, I say to you, they have their reward. Now understand, that's not saying, well, preacher, I don't want you to call on me in church to pray because I don't want to be like a hypocrite. Well, if you pray to be heard so that others think you're spiritual, that's your reward. That's what this is talking about. The hypocrites prayed out there. They were so vocal and so visible, so people would look at them and go, oh, they're so spiritual. They wanted that prominence, that attention. That's what that was about. And if that was the desire of their heart, they got what they wanted, and that's all they get. They're not being blessed in their prayers. But when you pray... go into your room, and when you have shut your door, pray to your Father who is in the secret place. And your Father who sees in secret will reward you openly. And when you pray, do not use vain repetitions as the heathen do, for they think that they will be heard for their many words. Therefore, do not be like them, for your Father knows the things you have need of before you ask him. So here's what I think Matthew's saying in this. He's saying, be real, right? Be real. When you pray, just be real. When I tell people when you pray, you're just talking to God. You're not trying to put on a show for anybody else. And we've had a lot of men. Let me just say this. We've had a lot of our men who at one point said, don't call on me to pray. I'm not going to pray out loud. And you know what's amazing to see is as men are around men who pray, men have gotten more and more willing to pray. And they're like, oh, I'm scared to death. And then we have prayer band, and men will step up and pray in prayer band. I had men that said, don't call on me to pray. And I had them come up, and they come up here, first time publicly. They pray right here publicly. And I'm like, I can't tell you how proud I am as a pastor to see our men growing in that way. That I'm nervous about this. I'm a little hesitant about this. But they're growing. They're realizing, man, I can lead in this way. And so I believe that Matthew's telling us to be real. I think he's telling us to be relaxed. And I believe he's telling us to be revealing. So when we talk to God, listen, he already knows everything. So why would we not share with him everything? If he knows what's going on in our life, why would we not commune with him and say, Lord, here's what I'm feeling. Here, he knows what you're feeling. He knows what you're thinking. So it'd be easy to go, well, why do I even need to pray? Because he wants us to commune with him. If you haven't figured out already this morning that the Lord wants us to talk to him in prayer, he does. He wants that. Now, the model prayer that Jesus gave us, look at this. Now, this is how to pray, not what to pray. So we should not pray this prayer. And look, everybody played football. Everybody, if you played football in high school, raise your hand. You know the Lord's Prayer, right? You prayed it before every game. Did y'all do it? Before every game. In the locker room before every game, they would pray the Lord's Prayer. I'd rather have a chaplain in there or some kid that knows the Lord in there just pray a prayer for the team. For Lord, let us give us safety, keep us from getting hurt, and Lord, let us win. No, not that. But let us glorify you. That's the prayer. It's not, so this is not that we should recite the Lord's Prayer, but there's some six parts of this prayer. There's praise. So we should begin by expressing our love to God. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. We should start with praise. Number two, there's purpose. And I should commit myself to doing God's will. I should commit myself to doing God's will. There's purpose. So verse 10 says, your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. The third part of this is provision. So we ask God to provide our daily needs. We're just asking Him to provide. Verse 11 says, give us this day our daily bread. Then there's a place for pardon. Pardon. And that's where we ask God to forgive our sins. Lord, would you forgive me? Verse 12 says, and forgive us our debts. We should ask for forgiveness, ask for cleansing, ask for restoration. Number five is people. We should pray for other people. And verse 12 says again, it continues, as we forgive our debtors. So we should pray for other people, pray for the things going on in their lives. And then number six is protection. Ask for spiritual protection. Verse 13 says, and do not lead us into temptation, but deliver us from the evil one. For yours is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. Pastor Aaron, if you want to come forward. I didn't miss by much. I'd rather lose the bet than mess up what God has prepared. But I knew we'd be not super long this morning. So you're going to have a little extra time to fellowship after the service. And before small groups start up, and that'll be a blessing, all right? It's a great time to conversate, meet some new people, all right? So in conclusion, I'm just going to wrap it up with this. So a regular prayer life helps a church member in these ways. Helps a church member to worship and glorify God, to confess sin and seek forgiveness, express thanksgiving, bring needs and burdens before the Lord, intercede for family, church leaders, missionaries, and others, gain wisdom and strength for daily obedience, and grow in fellowship with God. These are all things that our prayer life helps us do as a church member, okay? Prayer should not be viewed merely as a religious duty or a ritual to complete. Rather, it is the natural response of a believer who desires fellowship with the Lord. If you want to grow in fellowship with the Lord, you know, people sometimes ask, well, how can I grow in my faith? Two things, read the Bible and pray. Read the Bible and pray. You can come to all the small groups you want to. You can come to all the services you want to. That's not what's going to make you grow. Growth comes from reading the Word of God and praying. Read the Word of God. You are now communing with God. You are fellowshipping with God. You are investing in that relationship, and that's where we grow. We want to grow in the grace and the knowledge of the Lord and Savior, our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Get in the Word of God and get on your knees and spend time praying. This morning, maybe you're not doing one of those. Maybe. And listen, when I do these invitations and I voice it a certain way, here's what I think people hear. Well, if I go down to pray, people are going to know I'm not reading my Bible the way I ought to, or I'm not praying the way I ought to. That's how we think. I know how we think because I'm one of us. But when we go into invitation, I'm going to encourage you again, forget about anybody else in the room. This time of invitation is a time for you to deal with God on anything in your life that He may be dealing with you on. And you go, well, preacher, I don't have to come to the altar to do that. You don't. But I'm going to tell you, I believe there's something in, I need to pray. The Lord's speaking to my heart right now. I'm going to move. That movement, coming to an altar and spending some time talking to God, I believe there's some power in that. I believe there's something different in that. Plus, I'll pray when I get in the car. You know what happens? You don't feel it then. The Holy Spirit's done the convicting an hour ago. Now you get in the car, and, well, I don't really feel that conviction now, and we don't deal with it. So that's why we do this here. So this morning, as we, whatever God, and He may be dealing with you about something that has nothing to do with the message this morning. Because I know this, when the Word of God is preached, the Holy Spirit of God is at work. Amen. He's at work. So whatever's going on in your life this morning, if you need some time at the altar just to talk to Him, to cast something upon Him, to thank Him for something, to show gratitude, to just say, Lord, I need to recommit myself to my Bible study, or I need to recommit myself to prayer, or I need to recommit myself to church attendance, whatever it may be, I encourage you, forget about anybody else in the room and just think about what God would have you do. Father God, I thank You for this morning. I pray that, Lord, as we have this time of invitation, this response time to Your Word, Lord, help us just to right now to deal with You with whatever it is You're dealing with us on. I can't believe in a room this size that You're not working in hearts all over the room, actually. So, Lord, I just pray that we would be sensitive to You and not anything else. And Lord, if there's anyone in here this morning who's never been born again, they've never repented of their sin and trusted in the Lord Jesus Christ by faith, I pray this morning, Lord, if there's someone who's going, I'm not even sure I fully understand that, but I know that I'm not saved. I haven't been born again, but I need to know more about this. I would invite you, if that's you this morning, I'd invite you just to come down and say, Pastor, can you tell me more about becoming a Christian, about being born again? Can you tell me more? We'd love to take the gospel and share that with you. So, Lord, would You speak to every heart? And whatever the need is, as You deal with us, may we deal with You. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.